Sing with all you have. Now, how many of you sang with all you had this morning? There's a few of you that didn't, but most of you did. Oh, how I love Jesus. There are songs that come Christians join and sing. You know, that should be sung with Alleluia, Amen. You know, come Christians join and sing. What do you say? Alleluia, Amen. You know what I heard? Alleluia, Amen. You got to be happy about singing, about being here, about being in the Lord's house, about blessing us with your voice. You see, the author of our scripture today from Ephesians answers three questions in our scripture. How can we live wisely? How can we make the most of our time? And how can we be filled with the Spirit? Remarkably, the writer answers each question with the same, quite surprising word, sing. 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 That is the answer to those questions, to sing. How can we live wisely? Sing. How can we make the most of our time? Sing. And how can we be filled with the Spirit? Sing. Sing His praises. I was talking to somebody this week, and we were talking about, of all things, barn and tobacco. How many people in here have ever had that experience and that privilege and pleasure in your life? Look at there. We got a lot of old hands here. Sometimes, it's not sometimes, from the time I was born till I was 20-some years old, that's what you did every summer. You worked in the fields. You done spring, summer, and fall. Because you had to get things ready in the spring, you had to get all those plants, those beds made, and to now they just do it so easily. Back then it was such a chore. Now they float them on water. Well, Lord, we had to go take buckets of water and throw so the backer beds wouldn't be dry. Oh, it was just royal pain pulling them things and just all kinds of fun stuff that we had to do. But we learned a great deal in doing those things. I can remember some of the people, the places that I learned some of the most things in my life. I learned on a tobacco bed, a tobacco harvester, and at the barn. Tobacco barn. Part of it wasn't due to tail in here this morning. Some of it you learn what not to do. Some of it you learn about. But it was a lot of fun being on that harvester because I barn tobacco. I worked for, in the community I live in, was a little Indian community called Shiloh. And so two of the farmers that I worked for were Indian, Native Americans. And one of the men that I worked for was a black man, an African-American man, Mr. David Baggett. So I had all these folks from every color in the rainbow, from every culture, and all kinds of fun stuff. And so I got to learn a lot about those gospels and those spirituals and those things because those ladies on that tobacco harvester, guess what they did? They sang. They told stories. They'd tell you about things, and so you'd get to listening, you'd get to going, you'd get in there with them too. So we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun during that time. We learned a lot. But that's what it is. We're supposed to be filled with that Spirit. But think about what we were taught, not only then, but what we were taught in life sometimes. How many of us were taught that singing is the hallmark of wise living? Probably not. They said, you know, you need to calm down. Don't need to be foolish. You don't need to be so silly. You see, wasn't that what the foolish grasshopper did? That he sang his summer away while the very industrious ant kept quiet and worked? Well, see, we kind of combine both of those stories. We sang, we were industrious, and we worked away because you didn't get to be too lax because somebody would always bump you up a gear or two if you were lax and too far behind. It's like those tobacco rows when you're in them or a row of cotton that you're chopping. And, you know, the end of it, you can't see the end. And you're thinking, why am I here? Because you've got a parent somewhere that's on your rear end telling you, pick it up, pick it up. And you're wondering sometimes, I'll be so glad when I get out of school. I'll be so glad when I graduate. I will never, never put myself back in this field. Guess what I did? I went and done it anyway. We have these thoughts about what it will do, what we will do and what we won't do. We have these things in our heart and our mind about people wanting us to do things. But we work and we work and we work in this life that we live in. Sometimes we do things very foolish like the grasshopper. We don't do anything but just kind of sing our days away, laze our day away, stay in the bed all day. We don't get motivated to do anything. We don't want to have company. We don't want to do this. So we just kind of let our world fall in around us. Or some of us can be like that ant, that we can't be still for one moment. We're always doing something. We've got to be doing something all the time, and we kind of sometimes miss the point of what life is all about. You see, you and I many times were taught to make the most of our time. We weren't taught to make the most of our time by singing. No, we're supposed to be in bed early, up early, make lists, consult our calendars, and see if we're available to talk to somebody or make an appointment or stop by or whatever. Well, I can't talk to you today, or I can't see you today because, you know, I might have something to do. Filled with the Spirit. Well, maybe, but that's related more to those tongues and speaking outweigh strange things and those lists that we find in 1 Corinthians, the 12th and 13th chapter, all those lists of how to do things. We really don't know about what it's like to be filled with the Spirit. That's just something that's in the Bible that we don't really always talk about. But the people that our author today wrote about, and he wrote to, were used to getting drunk on wine. These people he talked about here in the Scripture, their drunkenness wasn't wise, it wasn't efficient, and it certainly wasn't spiritual. But they did it, and guess what? They still do it. Because a partial good is better than no good at all. Is that true? As Jesus said, they have their reward. Matthew 6:2, he says, you know, they've already got their reward because they're doing it just halfway. You see, they felt good for a while, having their parties and doing everything until the hangover kicked in. And they found out later they had danced on the table with the oil lamp balanced somewhere foolishly upon their head. When they have to be told later that some of the silly things that they have done, when you're told later about how you behaved, when you don't remember how you got home, when you don't remember about anything that happened, what part of that is wise? What part of that is efficient? And what part of that is spiritual? You know, there's many people in our lives as we grow up, and even today, I can remember growing up, I had an uncle that was an alcoholic. We didn't call him an alcoholic, we called him a drunk. That was kind of how it was told. And it would have been, you know, it was a sad thing in many ways because he kind of hit and miss through life. He would always come to something that we were having at the family, and he would always be just a little tipsy before the time was over at any holiday gathering, at anything. Guess what? He was pretty well gone by the end of it. Somewhere or another, in some corner, out in a car, out in a truck, out behind a barn, somewhere or another, he had a bottle. And guess what? As the day wore on, he got a little happier. Thank God he was a happy drunk. I also had an uncle who was not a happy drunk. He was a mean one. So these people are in our lives for some reason. Why? We figure out maybe in life, and sometimes we really don't know. But I remember how he used to behave. I remember how he would come in, and he was just the life of the party. He was so happy. He wanted to hug everybody. He wanted to love on you. And my mama couldn't take him. Now, she didn't care for him. She'd about had him up to here before she ever saw him coming. And he could get on her last nerve about quickly. And he would always do things. And the reason he got on her last nerve is because when he got a little bit of alcohol in his system, guess what he wanted to do? He wanted to preach. He wanted to tell you about what it was to be a Christian, about the Lord. And boy, he was good too. And she just thought he was the most blasphemous human being she'd ever met. And she would tell him about it too. And he would just listen. And they'd get into some arguments every now and then. But we have those people. And we have those things that happen, and we wonder why. And I would think later, I said, you know, why can't we ever have a family gathering. For Mother's Day or Father's Day or Christmas or Thanksgiving or something, when we go to Grandma and Granddaddy's, that somebody has got to act like an idiot. And usually, guess who acted like an idiot? That uncle. When he would show up, I don't care if we, whatever time, he would be there. He would make it. And he always would make it bad, not only for, I was just a niece. But I thought about his children, and I think about his children now. In life, I had the opportunity to do his funeral as life went on one day, as we all grew up and we all went our ways. And he had been through many things. He had been through many rehabs. He had been through many things in his life. He had come out on the other side. He had been clean and sober for over a year one time. And him and his buddies got together and had a party. Guess what? There it went. For a whole year, he had not taken a drink. He had been clean and sober. He had worked. He had done well. But he came back to those same people that were part of his problem. That same group of people that said, "Oh, you're my buddy, you're my friend, you're my pal." Guess what? You're not such a good friend, buddy, and pal. You're here when times are good, but when the times were bad, they weren't. They didn't hang around much. So as life would have it one day, with things that go on, and my cousins called me one night and asked me if I would make my way to Cape Fear Valley Hospital. I knew he'd been sick and I'd seen him. He had had all kinds of surgeries and his body just was not making it. And I went, and I had to be somebody different to them that night. Not only was I their cousin and their friend, I had to be their pastor. And that was a different job, a different role. For someone who had not been the best of people in his life, he was not a bad person. He actually had a lot of good in him. He just hadn't found all of it out yet. But for these children who, two of them had been in a broken home because he was never there, and then two of them knew him as a different kind of dad later on in his life. So there was lots of hurt, there was lots of pain, there was a lot of heartache. But yet somewhere in the midst of it all, goodness did come out of it. I saw it in the end. I saw it in him before he went in for surgery, and being able to talk with him, being able to share with him, being able to listen to what God had done in his life. And he sang a new song. And he sang a new song. You see, he was the one that was the life of the party, with the lamp on his head, acting silly. But our Lord tells us in these words today from Ephesians, he speaks to us about a replacement that can come in our lives. He says he knows that people don't replace a partial good with nothing at all. You see, there's a resulting vacuum, leaves too much room in our heart and in our mind and in our body for the devil to operate. So he says, replace that wine, replace that beer, replace that liquor, those drugs, that pornography, replace it all. All those false good times, all those false high times with the Holy Spirit. The true good time, the natural high. The way you do that is with music and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord with all your heart. That is the way we avoid foolishness and make the most of our time, avoiding the evil that is in our days. You see, this advice runs counter to a lot of Christian history, doesn't it? Christians have usually been suspicious of music, not without reason. There's a great deal of bad music in our world. Turn your radio on and you can hear it. Always has been, and probably always will be. But years and years ago, in the 1700s, when John and Charles Wesley wanted to tell the love of Christ to people who knew only drinking songs, guess what they did? They put new words to those old tunes because those tunes were familiar to the people. It was no longer, let's do something cheap and superficial, but rather let's do something deep and sacrificial. They changed the words to something that was familiar. They changed the way they did things. Some years ago, one of my childhood friends sang a hymn in church on Sunday morning. He sang, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." And he sang it so very beautifully. He had never known that when he was younger, a teacher told him that he should never sing because he sounded so awful. Because of that comment, he didn't sing for over 30 years. He sat in a church, listened. But when the hymns were sung, he just kind of hummed along. He didn't want to make a noise because someone had told him he wasn't any good. My friend, however, read Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Now he is a regular in the choir, and he's a soloist sometimes at his church. Why would anyone tell a child or anyone else for that matter not to sing because they think they sing badly? The point of singing is not to sound good. It's to make melody to the Lord and give thanks to God. Scripture says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. That's what it is. It's to be good. To sing your melody to the Lord your God. I love to sing and I love to make a joyful noise. Sometimes that's what it sounds like. To be faithful and joyful before the Lord. Some people in our world sing so much better than others. That's just a given. Some people, when you hear them sing, you can almost hear the angels. Some folks, when they sing, you're like, he's serving the Lord. You can say that. You see, that's the way it is. We're not all meant to be those wonderful people of the world. We're meant to make a joyful noise. To sing, to make melody to the Lord in your heart, is to live wisely and make the most of one's time. You see, a music critic once said to Johnny Cash, or of him, he does make an honest attempt to hit every note. You see, it's not all fair out there. You can look in our world and see folks like Kris Kristofferson. Boy, can't carry a tune in a bucket. But guess what? He writes beautiful songs for others to sing. And he attempts to sing them and sings them. In fact, he was not far away from us not too long ago, but he's still like he always has been. He's pretty pitiful, but yet he's got talent. He makes a joyful noise. That's all that God asks of you and I. That's all that He asks of anyone. God asks us to make an honest attempt each and every day to hit each note of the Lord's melody. So in this world that we live in, we're to sing as if we love it. We're to sing with all we have. We're to sing with joy. Have you ever been riding down the road and stop at a traffic light and see somebody beside you just going to it, just bouncing around and singing, they're just having a ball in their car. And sometimes they see people seeing them and it kind of, but then others of them just, they love it. They're having a good time. Do you sing in the shower? Do you sing in your house? Do you sing in the car? Do you make a joyful noise? Are you happy enough with who you are and who God is in your life that you're able to sing His praises, that you're able to share them with other people around you? Sing with all you have. He tells us that we're supposed to sing a new song. We're supposed to sing. And sing the things around us with joy. The rest of our songs today is to take time to be holy, speak off of the Lord. And we're supposed to abide in Him, to love Him, to care for Him, because He even cared for us before. This week, as you're out and about, just doing whatever you do, talking with people, sharing with people, listening to things, sing. Allow that spirit. And it makes you smile. It makes you happy. It brings a smile to your face. Whether anybody else is enjoying it or not, just tell them to get over it because you're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to come into this place. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to sing your praises, allowing us, Lord, to open up our hearts and our minds to serve you in new and different ways. And to know, Lord, when we take some of that stuff out of our life that just is put there to cause a lot of heartache and pain, that when we put you there in the midst of it, when we allow you to fill that void, that vacuum that is left, that we can sing wonderful songs, because we know if we don't fill it with you, that the devil is right around the corner. In fact, sometimes he beats the Lord there. And he's trying with all his heart and all of his mind to get us to do those things that we shouldn't be doing. But Lord, when we sing our praises, your praises, oh, what a joy that can be. Oh, what a blessing. Because he doesn't like it. The Lord doesn't like it when we're singing your, Lord, you love it. The devil doesn't like it when we're singing your praises. And we don't want him, we want him to not like it all the time. We want him to be unhappy. We want him to know that we serve a risen Savior each and every day of our life. And by doing so, we share that message. So, Lord, this day, allow us that peace and that mercy that comes by knowing you. Be with us now. Be with us in this time of decision as we take time to be holy. Amen. Find our hymnals this morning and turn to